that things are gonna happen, and then I'm gonna fall deeply in love, and then the big romantic gestures happen, and we're gonna continue on that. And when she says that it's like the relationship is built on partnership, I think what she means is it's the daily-to-daily fight that most of us actually need to do.
I 100% agree. It's that daily commitment that you put in. Like, for example, if let's say your partner likes iced coffee, right? Instead of making them a warm coffee, you can make them and prepare them an iced coffee, or like put the coffee in the fridge so it cools down and doesn't get watered down by like ice when they have it. I think that's partnership.
But I really like the fact that when we started and you pointed out on the friendships as well, and how like friends enjoy the Valentine's together. When she pointed out that like her friends were showing her the example of love rather than her youth, like passions, as she used the word, and then like how that demonstrated to her what love is. I think it's really cool.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think I've grown up watching Bollywood movies, and one of the biggest Bollywood stars, Shah Rukh Khan, always said that love is friendship, and when two people have friendship together, they have love, and that's kind of what I think love is built on. Is if you have this good friendship because you know a person, then you understand a person, and they show you how to love someone.
That's true. I think that the hardest thing, at least for me, I think that the hardest thing when I compare like relationships as like between two people and friendships, it's the time dedication. I feel that a lot of people feel that the time that you need to dedicate to the friendship is different than the time that you would dedicate to a relationship. Well, in some ways it's true, but also some people put so much less effort in the time building with the friendships that when it comes, like, when it's compared to the relationships.
No, I 100% understand what you're talking about. But I also think, you know, the friends that you find that you put that time into end up actually being your friends that stay long, right? And that's, I think, equivalent to understanding a relationship. It's that if you're putting that time and effort into someone, you're staying for long.
That's true. I find it harder in my life, because I don't have many friends that's from my childhood.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different, because for me, in my head right now, I'm constructing all this love, like friendships love right now. It's not something that I have constructed and now I look back. So it seems like it's all new.
No, I 100% agree, because I was in a similar position. I moved around a lot, so I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. But then I met my best friend here at SFU, and she completely changed the narrative. She made me understand what actual friendship means and the value of friendship.
Yeah, that's me and Brene.
Oh, yeah. And he's another one of the special friends in my books. He, you know, like, he kind of shows you that actions are bigger than words and that friendship is just so valuable.
True. And I think that right now is 1:33. Thank you so much for everyone who stayed tuned in into this open mic so far. What we're going to be doing now is just playing some PSA, some recommended, not sponsorships, because this is community radio, but some recommended in show promos, and that's it. So here you go, first with, show promos, let's do Raccoon City.
You want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, I have the perfect show for you. Come hang out with me at Raccoon City every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Hope to see you there.
Are you passionate about skiing and looking for a way to give back this season? Join Canadian Adaptive Snow Sports and help us make a real impact by volunteering your time. From teaching adaptive skiing or snowboarding techniques to supporting our events, there's a role for everyone. Visit our website at www.cads.ski to learn more, volunteer, or make a donation.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you so much for following the PSAs. My name is Iago. I'm your work study public affairs. And now we're going to be playing one of another of the contributions that we have received today. First, I have one more about crazy things you do when you're young and you're passionate. And that's a short one. So let's just dive into it. So today we have here an anonymous volunteer who I want to ask, what is the craziest thing that you have done as a young person when you liked someone?
The craziest thing I've ever done was download League of Legends and actually try to play it on a MacBook. And I was really bad, but I still kept playing anyway, just so he would play with me.
How long did you play it for?
I tried for a month, and then I gave up.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, League of Legends.
That's crazy. What's the craziest you've done?
Ooh, I haven't thought about that, actually. I've done for something. Do you have something in mind, what I think?
I had to learn how to watch F1, which was not fun.
Gosh, I have learned. Okay. So, yeah, for my first girlfriend, I listened and I had in my mind most of One Direction songs.
Okay, but to be fair, One Direction is amazing. So you were just being cultured.
If you say so. I've never listened to one again. But to be honest, I really liked it. I also learned all about the relationship between Harris and Lois.
Oh,
the relationship, you know,
relationship, quote unquote.
Do you know anything about that?
I used to be an avid One Direction follower, and then I just, that was my phase, and then after that, it was like,
yeah, I know, they just have all these Hollywood theories that they are actually together, like no one knows, and they go on dates secretly.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's why it's a theory. I mean, could you imagine?
I don't know. I mean,
I mean,
people really want them to be gays. I think that's all. I think Harry is actually bisexual.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, anyway, I have one more audio here for another contribution that we have received. This one a little bit on another cool story, but in a different perspective of youth love. So let's follow it. Here we go.
Hi. I am here to share an experience that I had about relationship and the lessons that I learned from that. So when I was 17, I had been in a relationship for almost 2 years with someone a little older than me. At the time, my parents decided to move to a town in a countryside, 4 hours away where we used to live because of work. So to avoid being separated, my boyfriend and I came up with the idea of getting married. But when he asked my father for my hand, my father didn't allow it. My father saw something that I couldn't see at the time, a relationship that wasn't healthy for me. But even though he tried to warn me, I ignored him. But then he had the brilliant idea and said that if our relationship was truly serious and meant to be, then it would be. So we just needed to wait for 6 months. And if when I turned 18 and I still wanted to get married, he would give his permission. So at that time, I was furious and I stopped talking to him for a while because of that. But in the following months, it wasn't easy for us to see each other. I didn't have a car, and I was starting to go to university, and he was working. So we saw each other a few times, maybe 4 or 5 times. But the distance made it clear how emotionally dependent my boyfriend was on me, and that caused excessive jealousy. You know, the jealousy became even more evident. And I finally saw aspects of him that I hadn't noticed before. And over time, I started to realize that my father was right. So before I even turned 18, our relationship ended. So today, I am very grateful for my father for not allowing me to get married back then. So this experience taught me that first, love is not based on the intensity of the moment, especially in youth when the emotions run so high. Because at the moment, I thought that I wouldn't find someone else to date and was the end of the world, you know. Second, when someone relies on another person to be happy, the relationship can be suffocating. And at the time, he created like a cycle of control and jealousy, and it made me feel so bad. Third, to make an important decisions like marriage, we have to be able to see beyond the initial passion, you know, and we have to have maturity to have this decision. Fourth, I learned that if a relationship is strong enough, it will overcome challenges, even distance or anything else. And five, my parents had a broader perspective on me, and as young and inexperienced, you know, individual, we can often can't see things and or simply refuse to accept our parents' perspectives. And I feel like it's so important for us.
Not a easy thing to hear.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think she brought up some valuable lessons there. Like, I love the fact that she was like, if a relationship is meant to be, it'll power it through anything.
I wonder right now how true that is, though. Because what is anything? Earth is so complicated.
No, I agree. But, like, I think Tiffany, the first story that we heard, yes, they've been together for 5 years and they're doing long distance. And she spoke about how if your foundation's strong and you're able to communicate with one another, even being, like, miles and miles apart, they're still able to have a successful relationship.
But I think you've touched on the key on why I said how much that is true. Because now, going back to our generation, how much of a conversation skills do we actually have?
Oh, we don't. We really don't. I mean, I think I was very lucky because I did not touch a phone or an iPad until I was 13 years old. And I think that really, like, taught me how to learn how to communicate. But there's people who I see, like, for example, my cousin, his son was 2 years old and it watches TV all day long and has a phone and has an iPad, and that just cuts down your communication skills. Like, there's no social interaction.
It changes so much. I started on online a little bit before. I actually, first time I had, like, I started on the computer, I was like eight, nine, when I had an Orkut. I don't know if you ever heard. It's not a Google social media, but it was bought by Google before it closed in 2014. And it was just a lot about community and typing. And it's so funny to look at my old stuff that I posted there on Facebook. And like,
oh yeah. No, Facebook was, that's where I started.
Yeah. But just throwing back on what you said, I think it's not even necessarily social media itself, but everywhere how you, we are not taught to communicate about our feelings.
Yeah.
I think that the generation, like, just before us, had that trouble, like, being taught.
Yeah.
It was not something they focused on. So yeah, it's something that they are not able to transmit to us as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, when we talk of, for example, our parents' generation, a lot of their generation was involved in doing community activities, like going outside and playing, you know, and interacting with people. And I think with more interaction, you learn how to, you develop such skills and you're able to speak to people. Whereas our previous generation and our generation, even future generations, that kind of going out and playing and meeting people doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, even though I started on like having computers when I was like 8, I still played on the streets with my friends. I used to volunteer. Like, I started volunteering when I was 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I used to, at least where I come from, Brazil, we have a culture of, like, giving coffee to people who are passing by and say, oh, do you want a cup of coffee? You know, that kind of stuff. So I've been to every of my neighbor's house.
Oh, wow.
Like, I know every single one of them, like, at least 3 streets forward, 3 streets behind mine.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I grew up in Botswana, and it was kind of the same thing. Like, you knew so many people, you knew every single person. Like, it would be like you're going outside and 3 streets down your best friend lives, or, you know, like right in front of you, and you'd know everyone.
And that forces conflict, but also forces communication to solve the conflict.
I 100% agree. I mean, communication is the key. Like Tiffany said, it's the key and the foundation to any good relationship.
Something we need to learn. Comes with some leadership classes and stuff like that helps. But I think, yeah, it's a lot about community. You touched on the right key here. Okay, so I have a suggestion. Why don't we listen to Fast Romantics by Leaf Rapids? And then we can play the last audio and then we can wrap up this episode.
Sounds good.
Okay, so this is Fast Romantics in the album Velvet Paintings, a little bit of an indie folk. I really like the song. I hope you enjoy too. Thank you so much for staying tuned in.
Consummation at midnight.
Welcome back to CJSF. Thank you so much for staying tuned in. Again, my name is Iago. We're broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain. It's minus two right now. It's so cold. And I'm going to be playing now Kaylin's contribution. Kaylin has her own episode, Sociologic. Oh, I'm so bad at the name. But yeah, Sociologic. Every Thursday at 6 or 7. Anyway, and I'm going to play her contribution talking about love for us to talk about and wrap up. So here is Kaylin.
Something that I learned about love in my youth occurred during high school. At this time, I was becoming very close with lots of my friends that I still call my best friends today. And I think it was during high school that I realized that friendship love is a totally legit and valid form of love. I feel like I show a lot of affection with my friends. We give lots of hugs. We compliment each other. We send each other letters in the mail. We tell each other we love them all the time. And I just learned a lot about how positive that is for my own mental health and having people that care about me and tell me they care about me. Also, I feel like this was very much... the friendships were expedited super intensely through sharing of experiences, specifically an outdoor, like high intensity outdoor experiences such as whitewater rafting, backpacking, sea kayaking, etc., where we were in these stressful situations and we had to work together to get through all of the different problems and difficulties that we did, and in the end bringing us a lot closer. I also feel like just existing in natural spaces with people that you care about is very fun because I feel like it's just conducive to strengthening friendships, especially like overnight stuff where you're camping or in the woods in the backcountry. But yeah, really the big thing that I learned is that friendship love can exist very similarly to romantic love in the sense that you love them a lot, but they are different, and I think they're both very important to have in your life.
Hi, I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Rebecca.
We're the hosts of Sociologic, broadcasting live at CJSF 90.1 FM from 7 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday.
Tune in to hear meaningful conversations exploring all ideas through a sociological lens.
And this was Kaylin. First of all, thank you, Kaylin, for your contribution. She's not here, but I bet she's listening. And also, I wanted to touch on a little bit to wrap up on friendship love.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big believer in friendship love. I completely agree with what was said right there. It is one of the best ways to express love and one of the best forms of love.
It's a real constructive way. But I keep bringing these issues. I should just let everything be perfect. But I think it's also something that we're struggling on, especially at SFU. I hear so many people complaining about like finding friends here.
Oh, yeah, because we're a commuter school.
But I don't know if people are just introverted. I go out in the halls and I make friends every day.
I mean, that's you.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think you're introverted. I mean, I think personally that, okay, it was tough initially to find friends here, but I think once you find them, then your life becomes so much easier. Like, I have friends that are currently in my degree now. I have friends who are not in my degree, and you get to meet so many different type of people from so many places.
Yeah, I think that maybe trying to bring a bit of a sociological perspective here. When we're talking about the constraints of capitalism in general, one of the biggest one is the anxiety and like the feeling that comes, I forgot the name of, there's a theory about that it's a Russian name, never mind, I don't know why I'm trying to make this so scientific, but yeah, basically the theory wraps up on the idea of like the more we shorten the time and we shorten the constraints of communication, the more anxiety it comes with that, and especially for a commuter school. It didn't matter back in the days, I don't know if you know, but SFU used to be one of the most active political organizations in Canada.
I did not know that. That's actually interesting, but I could imagine imagine it.
Yeah, so people came here, but they would come here for Tour Test. They would come here for the clubs, for SFSS. And this has been decreasing since the 90s. And I think it is a lot about that. People come here, but more people need jobs right now. So a lot of people who are full-time students are still part-time students. Part-time jobs. And that comes with like people being more tired. But also speaking on the fact that a lot of people come here and they're like, I want to go back home soon because I need to do more other stuff.
I also think it comes from the fact that a lot of people that come here also grow up maybe in like close areas. So they already have like this group of friends. So some people are not willing to maybe, you know, meet new people.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think that's a big contribution. And yeah, a lot more colleges, more people going like elsewhere after high school. So
yeah, exactly. But I do think, like, I will say, SFU was a surprise for me as well, because I didn't expect to have so much fun here or meet so many people. But if you get involved, you meet so many people and you actually make so many friends.
Yeah, that's true. And then with that come all the benefits of the friend love we were just talking about.
Oh yeah, and that with that also comes Galentine's Day. Not only Valentine's Day.
That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
It's a different, in Brazil it's a different day. So I'm not used yet. Yeah, it's in June for us.
That's crazy. So then what do you celebrate in February?
Sorry?
What do you celebrate in February?
What? Carnival?
Oh.
Maybe I could argue the opposite of love.
The opposite of love.
Yeah, absolutely no love, just carnal stuff. Maybe. Yeah, that's what we celebrate in February. Okay, so we have 2 minutes left here. We gotta give the space for the Sparkles to come in and prepare for their show. So I appreciate for everyone who stay tuned in into CJSF.
Thank you so much for having me and everyone for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here. It was amazing having this talk with you.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I had so much fun.
Okay, so maybe let's go for some Diego Figueiredo, I Love Samba. Mm-hmm. Just some sort of, it's not romantic, it's some bossa nova, but come on, I'm Brazilian. I have this right. Okay, so here you go, Ipanema Dream.